Radio FNZ, 92.7 FNZ. Mac and Bone hanging out with you. Flounder at the controls. We still got 2 hours to go, baby. We are only halfway home. We got Will Healy, Charlotte head football coach, joining us here in a minute as we continue to preview the seasons for each of the teams in the Carolinas. We still have UNC coming. We still have State coming as we continue to count down to college football. We have
we're going to try to get Devin Leary on here at some point soon.
There we go, baby.
If you can contain
that Heisman clause up.
If you can contain yourself during the interview.
I'm going to tell him.
It's like your son now.
I'm going to tell him Vegas is sleeping on him. That is absurd to have him down there in the 30s in terms of the ranking of the odds to win the Heisman. That is disrespect. And Devin Leary ought to go out there. You know what they do in Jersey when you disrespect it? You know what they do, Bo?
Oh, I do know, yes.
Yeah.
You have to go swimming with the fishies.
Yeah, they put on their Duke basketball jerseys and celebrate?
Oh, my gosh. Flounder off the top rope. All right, anyway, I'm not saying he needs to kill anybody.
What was
anybody,
that? What
but
was
he
that
needs
on?
To go out there and make people pay for sleeping on him.
Was
this
that
year.
A scripted joke between you two? What was that about?
Flounder has a State or Duke slam for every occasion. He really does, Bone.
Don't embarrass us. There's a guest on the line.
That's seriously. All right. You better not say something bad about Charlotte, Flounder. We're watching you.
Dude, I love the Niners and Coach Healy, man.
All right. Good deal. Just checking.
Sucking up now.
We continue to preview the Division I teams in the Carolinas as college football truly cannot get here fast enough. We bring in the head coach of the Charlotte 49ers, Will Healy, to preview the Niners' upcoming football season. Coach, it is always a pleasure. How you doing?
Good morning, gentlemen. How are y'all?
What's up, Coach?
We're doing good, man. I'm getting to the point. I was getting ready to say this. We're getting to the point in the sports calendar where I really need college football in my life. I'm like counting the days at this point. Do you feel that way as a coach, or are you kind of enjoying the calm before the storm? What are you thinking?
I just think nowadays you're always feeling like there's something recruiting or getting your team ready that you should be doing, and it's like time's running out. I mean, I think there's a sense of urgency and an anxiety that goes on throughout the summer. You know, how good are we? How prepared are we? You know, recruiting, you just finished a recruiting period with a bunch of camps and all that type of stuff. So, I think summer's used to be a kind of a calm before the storm. I think now it's pretty full go throughout the entire summer.
Coach, you guys open up August 27th at FAU, and then, you know, you play on a Friday night after that, William and Mary. How important, and August 27th, week zero, how important are those special windows for you guys in those type of weeks to shine, to kind of show the nation what your program's all about?
Well, I think the great part about playing a really, really difficult schedule is each and every week's an incredible opportunity. You know, FAU is really, really good. Going to Boca in week zero, playing Willie Taggart, you know, left a bunch of really good players down there, and Willie's done a great job picking up where they left off, and they waxed us in the second half a year ago. William & Mary is a top 25 program in the country at the FCS level. I mean, a really, really good football team. It's fun. That one's exciting to me because Mike London's been a mentor. I played for him for the year we won the national championship at the University of Richmond. So not that a game has anything to do with the two head coaches, but that will be fun to honor to share the field with Mike London, who I think so much of. And then Maryland comes to town, who, by the way, he's got a pretty good quarterback that threw for about 17,000 yards in the bowl season is what it felt like. And, you go to Georgia State, which is obviously – Sean Elliott's done an amazing job there, and South Carolina. So those three, with Maryland, South Carolina, and Georgia State, all finished the season extremely strong a year ago. Won bowl games, big bowl games, have a lot of momentum headed in. Obviously, you look at what South Carolina's done in the transfer portal, also with Maryland getting some wideouts. I mean, it's. Everybody's roster looks different. So you can be like, oh, yeah, man, I feel like we've made tremendous strides. Our roster looks better, us compared to this, the way we were last year, or us compared to them last year. It all changes. I mean, it's like people can revamp a roster now. You don't have a cap on the number of guys you can sign. And So it's just kind of like, man, the only thing you can worry about is your own football team. That's really the reality of today.
We're talking with Will Healy, head coach of the Charlotte 49ers, and they get ready to get the season started in the fashion that he just ran down. Coach, you're coming off of, you had that high in 2019 of going to the Bahamas Bowl. And Club Lit was going crazy. Your shirt was off. The mascot head was on you. I mean, it was amazing. It was so much fun. It was awesome. The last 2 years, the COVID year, I think we completely understand there. But last year, you guys went 5-7. The Mac curse might have been involved in some struggles for you as well. I admit that. But you just miss out on bowl eligibility. Do you feel some heat, like, on the program and on you personally? Like, this has to be a bowl season. Anything else is unacceptable?
I mean, I've felt like that every time I've been in this program, but it's not heat. I want it to be an expectation. And look, I mean, the best thing that all of us, everybody in our program learned a year ago is you can go from, week one, everybody's asking if you're going to go take the Dallas Cowboys job, and week 12, everybody wants you fired. So it is a week-to-week job. And I think that's awesome to keep a – this is our process. This is what we should be worried about. One game can't get us too high, which sometimes I make a mistake of as a head coach. Man, I love Club Lit, celebrating and everything so much that, is our team mature enough to be able to buckle back down and be ready for the next week? I think the best part about it is we had some really cool moments last year, but we still haven't built a great program. If you look at the history of our program, we've had 1 7-win season. We played football for 9 years. This will be the 10th year. We've had 1 7-win season. We've had the next best record we've had as a program is 5 wins. We're not a great program yet. And that's like, we got to go build it. It's not just, can we make another bowl game? It's not, no. It's like, okay, let's go win 6 conference games this year in Conference USA. Well, great. You finish Conference USA the right way. Now the game changes. You go to the AAC. It is a process. It's going to be so much fun to be able to build. I think that sometimes one of the things I struggle with the most is patience. So matching that with a sense of urgency, I think is what our program's about. Building something that's sustainable, not just a great season, I think is really important. And do I feel heat? No, because this is not my identity. We got a great group of human beings. I think we can be as special as anybody in the country. And I want to put that expectation on myself to go play in bowl games and conference championships and all that type of stuff. And know that if I'm waiting to get a pat on the back from somebody else, then it can be lonely when you've lost 5 of your last 6, and it can be really, really high when you've beaten Duke on national television to start the season. But I'm not real interested in those ups and downs.
We're talking to Charlotte 49er head coach Will Healy here on the Mac Attack on 92.7 FNZ, and talking about your special players. One of them that's been around for a while now is Victor Tucker, your wide receiver. Does he get enough attention for how good he is? I believe I read in one of the preview magazines that he's the nation's active leader for career receiving yards.
That's cool. I didn't know that. I think that if there's a guy that you want to get the ball to in a clutch situation, it's Vic Tucker, and he's done that for what feels like 9 years here. I go back to so many different games over the course of his history here. And he's just a special, special player. He's got that knack for having enough confidence to go make the play. He's got the ball skills, the body control, runs great routes. And he finds ways to get separation, even though he's not a 4-3 guy. That wide receiver room looks a little different than it did 2 years ago. And, Grant DuBose and Elijah Spencer and Nolan Gruel and No-No, J. Irish Mack. Now you got a couple freshmen that are in there that have done an unbelievable job. And, so it's 6-7 like guys that you can win because of in that wide receiver room now. Which Vic was the standalone for, a majority of the time since we've been here. So excited to be able to spread the ball around and see how many of those guys can be difference makers.
Bone, don't be spreading that rat poison about Victor Tucker. Don't be.
I read it in
That's amazing.
I read it in Lindy's. He's the leader in two categories. I'm trying to figure out where it was in this magazine. But yeah, I read that and I was like, oh my, I don't think people would realize Victor Tucker is putting up those ridiculous career numbers.
No, that's amazing.
It is.
That is. No doubt. Coach, last year, you guys were sitting there. I don't need to tell you this, and I don't need to tell Niner fans this. You talk about the expectation of going to a bowl every year. Man, I thought y'all had it last year. Not only just start the season with an awesome win against Duke National TV at home, but you got to 5-4 after you beat Rice and in an overtime game, and then you lose the next three games. And in those games, you give up 42, 49, and 56. I know you've made a lot of changes on that coaching staff defensively. Like, is it as simple? Do you feel like you got Chris Reynolds back on offense? Is it as simple as just improving that defense a bit and this team can be a bowl team, or is it a lot more than that? What do you think?
You know, we obviously have to improve tremendously on the defensive side of the ball. And I think you go back and you simplify the definition of what your job is as a coach on game day, right? To me, the job as a coach is so much bigger than what happens on game day. But on game day, you need to put your guys in the best position to be able to have success. And you know, if they're in the position and they're not making the play, then we're not fundamentally where we need to be, or we haven't recruited the right guy. We need to recruit better. Like, what's the reason why the guy's in a position to make the play and he's not making it? So I thought there were plenty of opportunities last year that we didn't put our guys in the right position to be able to go make the plays. And then I thought there were times where we had guys in position to make plays and we didn't make it. So what's that answer? Is the guy good enough, or do we need to go recruit better? I think that the wisdom that we've added to our defensive staff has been awesome. Greg Brown is a guy who's done this for a long time, but also has an incredible amount of energy, which he's still really passionate about being a great football coach. And that was important to me, too. I didn't just want to get a splash hire that, oh, man, this guy's great, and you know, but he'd rather be at Alabama instead of at Charlotte. I want somebody who wants to build something with me here. And you know, Greg's done an awesome job with that. He's coached three Thorpe Award winners, so he knows what it's supposed to look like from a recruiting perspective. Great evaluator. Cap Dede's been awesome for Greg because they work together, and he was actually coached by Greg. So, you know, some of the ways that those two kind of collaborate and are really good, you know, A and B, has been awesome to see. And then Brian Baker is, you know, probably one of the best defensive line coaches to ever do it. Coached 21 years in the National Football League. Has been the assistant head coach at Alabama. Been a defense coordinator at Georgia Tech. Last year was a defensive line coach for the Indianapolis Colts. And then you add Leroy Glover with him, you know, one of the best defensive tackles to ever play the game. That D-line room is pretty excited about going to work every day. So I think a lot of things. I actually had this conversation the other day. I think our staff is really good. We've meshed well. You haven't been through the fire, so you don't want to quick call it. You know, it's like, man, I think this guy's really good, and then you get into a little bit of adversity during the season. Now we'll see how everybody really gels together. I think the other thing about it is we've hired some really good pieces around to help these guys. You know, Mark Hogan that came over from Davidson that scored our first touchdown in the program history has done an awesome job. You know, Tommy Langford does a really good job. I talked about Glover. You know, two of the graduate assistants, Tucker Meyer, came from Mississippi State, and Jack Neuheisel, Rick Neuheisel's son, just joined us. So, I mean, I just think that are you putting, you know, coaches in position to have success as well? And kind of revamping the staff I thought was important, and obviously having Adam back to be the stability factor in the foundation has been huge for me.
All right, Coach. Well, you know we're pulling for you. We wish you the best this year. We appreciate it. And I, for my part, Coach, will not be making any guarantees about your program coming. You're not going to have me messing it up, Coach.
I'm fine if we're like your ninth best Carolinas team in the FBS level and you pick us to go like 0-12. I'm good. Right? Maybe that will work for us.
It sounds like not only are you good, you're rooting for that.
Pick us to go 12-0. Pick me for anything. Pick our play. Don't talk about Vic again until the season's over with. Whatever you guys want to do. No, but y'all do an awesome job and appreciate it. I'm excited about the year. You know, I'm excited about building something in Charlotte that every single year we do this, you're like, look at where that program is. And obviously there's some guys around this area who've done a great job and done that. You look at what's happened at App, and you look at what's, you know, happened with Jamie and them at Coastal, and we plan to be on that level. And now with the opportunity to go to the AAC, I think you have an opportunity to even surpass that.
Well, we're pulling for you, Coach. Thanks, Coach. You the best. Thanks, as always, for coming on with us.
Thanks, guys. Have a great day.
Thanks, all right, Coach. There you go. Will Healy, not only what me, doesn't want you saying anything nice either, Bone.
He's a fellow ranch enthusiast, ranch dressing enthusiast.
I didn't have
the time to tell him about the whole sushi ranch situation.
Oh, geez.
Wonder how he feels. Big Outback ranch guy, Will Healy.
Okay, I like that.
These are the tidbits that I get on. When we come back, ask the audience the most annoying songs ever that can get stuck in your head. You may hear some. We'll discuss. We'll ask you. It's Mac and Bone on Sports Radio 92.7 FNZ.
And Bone hanging out with you. I hope everybody's having a good Tuesday morning here in the summer. Sports getting a little lazier with the NBA done, the Stanley Cup Finals in the books, but we do have ourselves NBA free agency. We've been talking a lot about that. We'll get back into the whole Miles Bridges situation, and we got to talk about what Marshall Faulk said when he was in Charlotte last week. It got lost during draft time. What he said, he has told Christian McCaffrey he needs to do in order to be healthy. Do we believe that there's a way to change things and with McCaffrey's, you know, habits and change the results from a health standpoint? We'll get into that coming up at 8:40. But we got to have some fun right now. Well, maybe it won't be fun. It won't be fun.
It's actually the opposite of fun.
We might be torturing your ears. But this
normally, we do that anyway.
Oh, that's true. That's true. This came up last week during What's Your Beef Wednesday. I was talking about that. What is that song? I forget what the heck that song was. Oh, what is that song?
I don't remember.
From last week.
I don't remember which one it was.
My Money Doesn't Jiggle Jiggle. That one.
That's what it was.
That little jiggle jiggle song that's kind of big on TikTok.
Because I was playing one from Breland about a country song, and then you use that one.
Yeah, that song is so freaking annoying. It originated on TikTok, and now it's on like Hits Radio, and my son loves it, and it's annoying. Many of the songs that I'm going to mention are because of my kids. They like very annoying songs, and they like to listen to them over and over again. And we're going to ask this and ask the audience question, and we've already got people providing feedback on it. What is the most annoying song that infiltrates your head and drives you crazy? And in honor of my kids, Bone, who thankfully are out of the phase of liking this song, I present you one that multiple people have already said. Baby Shark is some of the worst ear poison in the history of music. Does it get much worse?
No,
than
it doesn't.
Baby Shark,
It can, but it's hard pressed to find many. That's an awful one right there.
Absolutely horrible. And kids' habits too, Bone. They want to listen to the same song.
Oh, well, we're playing
over
these
over and over.
Oh, we're gonna
again.
Play some of these. That's great. That's one.
So bad. Seriously, horrible. And then who was the team that had it involved in their...
The Nationals.
The Nationals. It was like their anthem.
Yep.
They were an annoying team already as it was, and they added this song.
And they went on a run to win a championship, so it played more times than it should have.
They did.
That's yours. Mine goes back to my grocery store working days when a lot of those songs back play in a loop. You know, the pop kind of songs. I remember day... after day after day. Actually, I think Chris Russo will describe this for me. Where's my sound effect here to describe how many times I heard this song right here?
Night after night after night after night after night, night after night.
I can't tell you how many times Cher's Believe song came on at the grocery store. It would get in my head. I went home cussing. I don't like Cher anyway. This song right here just gets embedded. It just stays in your head forever. Cher, well, listen to this. Believe in life after love because of you.
I never really thought of that as annoying. I definitely didn't think of it as good, But I was looking up a list to see like where people rank. These lists rank. It was on two lists as one of the 20 most annoying songs in the history of music.
It's bad, man. And now it's embedded in my brain. I haven't worked at the grocery store rack in 18 years, and I still wake up sometimes in a cold sweat, going, "Oh my god, oh my god, Cher."
Oh my god.
Try bagging groceries for all these old people with that song in your head. No, you don't believe in love anymore. I don't believe in life or love.
All right, keep your songs coming. We are getting tons of songs. Mint Hillbilly says every Frozen song. I should like the music from Frozen, but I get it if you have kids, that you have daughters that are singing it over and over again. I definitely are playing it over and over again. What else do we have here? Astronaut in the Ocean. I love that jam, man.
What's that one?
What do we know about rolling in the deep? Slow motion. I'm an astronaut in the ocean.
Settle down. I meant.
Are you kidding me?
I was asking Flounder if he had the song, not you to sing the song. How about this one? This one hurts my soul because I'm from the great musical generation, Mac, of the early 2000s. Oh, how many greats came from the early 2000s? There's one, though, that kind of bothers me a little bit, and that would be Lou Vega's Mambo Number 5.
Yeah, that one's cheesy.
It's just he's naming off all these ladies, and are they really his ladies?
That one, I don't Macarena.
Know. Macarena, Mambo Number 5. It wasn't terrible at the time, but it just, you know, it just gets in your head and you can't get out. And I needed to get out.
As someone gave us a good one. Multiple people have said this. Barbie Girl.
Oh, it's so bad. Oh. So bad.
That one's so annoying. Flounder needs to play that and get that in people's brains right now. All right.
Now people are coming after a song here that I'm going to have to take umbrage with here. We will not attack. We will never attack on this show. Celine Dion's song from Titanic. It's not happening. I will block these people right here. My Heart Will Go On. That's an all-time great song.
You like that song?
Yes, I do.
It doesn't really annoy me, but it's definitely not great.
Not this one here. This is horrible.
This is horrible. My daughter got into a phase where she wanted to play this all the time while she was playing with her Barbies.
It's
bad. Sweet Caroline's getting called out.
As it should.
Panther Bill. Sweet Caroline's a horrible song?
I wouldn't say it's a horrible song. It's horrendously overplayed.
Yeah, it's overplayed, and you would, like, if the Panthers chose to play a different song at the end of games, it wouldn't hurt my feelings because every team uses it.
It's overplayed.
But it's not a terrible song, is it?
Not on the surface, no, but it's getting overplayed and it's used too much for those moments where is it really good enough for all these teams to use them? And there's one on the text line right now that if I find this person.
Which one?
This person, 619, put your name on it. Put your name on it. We will never, ever go after Outkast. We're not going after Outkast.
They said "Hey Ya" by Outkast is an annoying song.
We're not doing it. We're not doing this.
That is a great freaking song.
That's one group of my generation. We're not attacking Outkast.
No, that's a great one. I can't go there on that one. But we are getting some that are named that we all mentioned before the show.
It's an all-timer.
Yeah, this was a jam.
That was one of my prom songs. I got low to that.
I forget what year. You were in prom then?
Yeah.
How the hell old am I?
I believe so. I think. I mean,
thought it was Outkast was like 2003.
Matt, they weren't around for 1 year.
No, Hey Ya. I thought Hey Ya was like 2003. Am I wrong?
Yeah, it came out 2003. But Outkast in general was my
prom. Okay, I was going to say.
Maybe it wasn't that one, but yeah.
All right.
No, you know what, though? I was at the prom after I graduated. I had a girlfriend.
Came back, dated a sophomore.
No, I had the girl that was still in high school, so I was at the prom. Yeah, I was there for that.
All right, let's see what else is going
on. I was at like four proms in a row.
Multiple people mentioning the song Friday by Rebecca Black.
Awful.
Which I am ashamed to admit that our former board op over there, Preppy, former producer, would play it every Friday.
I think it played at his wedding.
Oh, my gosh.
This is, we have done some stuff to torture some ears in Charlotte, Bone, that's over bad. The years. Playing Friday every week was one of the worst ear tortures we ever committed.
As long as it kept Preppy from talking.
That's true. It was better than hearing him talk about the Bills.
Who let the dogs out?
Oh, that's my God. Who?
Flounder, did you say that was like was that one of your songs in middle school or elementary school?
Yes. So we were called the Shiloh Bulldogs.
Oh, God.
And they would have Bulldog News on Thursday or Friday, one of the 2 days, and they would play this dumb song every single time. That was the intro. Now to Allison. with your update on Bulldog Sports.
Holy cow.
And I'm like, what the... This song was so annoying.
You talk about overplayed. Overplayed and horrible. By the way, who was the name of the group that did this song?
Baja Men.
That's what it was. I interviewed them at a Super Bowl when this song was... That's how old I am compared to Flounder. Flounder is sitting in an elementary school when this song is big. I'm at the Super Bowl at Radio Row interviewing the Baja Men.
See, some of these, Flounder, you can kill that forever. Some of these I'm afraid to bring up because Mac will automatically sing them. So we have to be careful.
Cars for Kids is getting blasted.
Cars for Kids is all over the place. I think they want it that way, though, because you're talking about Cars for Kids. If I bring one up, will you promise not to sing it?
Hey, what is it? What is it?
Achy Breaky Heart.
That was a bad one. Seriously. Wasn't there a dance that went along
you,
with that?
There was. You want to sing it so bad, don't you?
You can tell my heart, my achy breaky heart. See, the thing is, I'm not that dangerous because I don't know that many lyrics.
Well, it involves a heart that's achy.
We're looking for the worst songs that get in your head, infiltrate your mind, and drive you crazy. We're looking for your feedback on that Ask the Audience question. Living La Vida Loca by Ricky Martin.
That's one. How about one from...
I kind of rocked to that one. I'm not going to lie to
how
you.
How about one from that time frame that I think is might be number one on this list? And again, I was young and it was bad. M-bop by Hanson.
Yeah, that's bad.
What were they? What did that even mean? What does so m-bop bad. Even mean? What is you're m-bopping around. What is that?
M-bop. Someone just named it. Yeah, that was a horrible one, man.
Awful.
Why is?
Oh, I hate it. I wanted to fight all of them.
Why is Min Hill Dan making a run at Falco's Rock Me Amadeus?
Ah, come on.
The Rock Me Amadeus was an absolute jam in the 80s. I was at the Wisehaven Pool where I was a member. Best pool in East York.
Excuse me.
And I was at the Wisehaven Pool Bone in the arcade. The first time I ever heard this song, it was unbelievable. How dare you, Min Hill Dan, bash Rock Me Amadeus? How dare you
I
do that?
I didn't know your town had two pools, so how ritzy were you?
do you remember that song? You were young, man.
I probably heard.
What is this one?
That's Hanson.
Oh, yeah.
That's not Rock Me Amadeus.
No, it's definitely not.
Someone going after, this is bad. Someone's going after Enter Sandman. I mean, what are we doing here? What are we doing?
Out there. Now, that's
serious. Because you're going after Mariano Rivera. You're going after Metallica. You're going after Kyle Bailey, who stole that song. You're going after so many things here.
I would like, seriously, as a big Metallica fan, I would like all my Metallica brothers and sisters, all the Hokies out there, and all the Mariano Rivera Yankee fans, we're all going to meet here at the station, and we're going to go find this person.
Thank you. That's what we're going to do. Thank you for that. I appreciate that.
Let's see here. What else do we have? Cisco Thong Song, getting hated on.
That was not that was a good one back in the day. That was a different.
That was all right. It was silly.
It was a different era, a different time, but that song came out. When that song dropped at the club back then, you saw some things happening.
My man says, "What is love?" Is that the Roxbury song? What is love? I like that song just because the Roxbury guy. Every time it comes on, I want to get that little head bob going on.
Oh, you know? Yeah. We got to go to break here.
Oh, we do have to, don't we?
Yeah, play us out with some Cisco here. I've never said it to break with Cisco playing before. All right, Mac, that's the most annoying songs of all time. When we come back, what did Hall of Famer Marshall Faulk give advice? What was the advice Marshall gave? I can't say it with this song playing right now. What did Marshall Faulk tell Christian McCaffrey about trying to stay healthy going forward? It's Mac, it's Bone, it's Flounder, it's Cisco on Sports Radio 92.7 FNZ.
Barbecue steak with the Oreo shake and some whipped cream on the top, two straws, one shake, girl, I got you, bougie like Natty.
There is no way we could do a whole Ask the Audience segment on songs that annoy you.
Shut up!
Work in the People's Champ.
Shut this up, come on!
By about six people on the text line, fancy like, a.k.a. the Applebee's song. So there you go.
His new song is terrible, too.
What's his new one? I think I've heard it.
Walker Double A Walker or Hayes. A.A., one of the two.
Walker Hayes, right?
That's yes.
That made me almost not want to go to Applebee's for a couple weeks.
Almost. It takes a lot more than that to keep Bone away from a chain restaurant.
Not when they're offering 2 for $20.
All right, y'all. Love your feedback, and we will read some of your texts at the end of the show in the text segment. Some of your texts about the annoying songs will still make it into the show. In the final segment, we have to talk. You want to talk annoying? Our star running back getting hurt all the time is about as annoying as hearing Fancy Like on the radio. All right, over and over again. We need it to be different, man. If this team's going to make a jump, we need the McCaffrey injury situation to be different this go-round. And I thought it was interesting that the guy who Christian McCaffrey said he has consulted on being on staying healthy in the NFL is Marshall Faulk. Marshall Faulk, until that knee injury that basically ended his career, was damn healthy. And he was such a similar back to Christian McCaffrey. It's a perfect guy for Christian to consult on this. And Marshall Faulk was here, Bone, last week at the Touchdown Club, and it kind of went under the radar because we were in draft mode. It was on Thursday. And Friday, we were talking about the draft and all that stuff. Listen to Marshall Faulk. He was on the air with Willie P, who was filling in for Nick at the Charlotte Touchdown Club. This is Marshall Faulk talking about McCaffrey's injury situation.
I commend him for reaching out and looking at, okay, what do I want? What do I want to look like? What do I want my career to look like? And who has done it? Mm-hmm. And so to reach out and to ask, and we've had an open dialogue for a while, mm-hmm. but it got a little bit more extensive, you know, because this is like that point in time in his career that if the right pieces are around him, you know, you're going to get to see the special player that he is, even more so than we saw when he was a younger talent. You know, now it's like the mind and the body and the talent, they're all at their highest. And this is when we should see the best of Christian.
Bone, do you think, and I know I was reading the article, the Joe Person article, and it mentioned some of the things that Marshall told Joe that, you know, he told Christian, which was basically practice less, like take time off and practice. Yeah. He said Christian's the type of guy, like he was early in his career, that, hey, I don't want to miss a rep. But he says sometimes you need to protect your body, take mental reps. He also brought up things like, you know, don't take hits. Don't take unnecessary hits. Be smart about it in the game. You don't need to take every hit. You don't need to prove how tough you are by running guys over.
Makes sense. Although some of the stuff with McCaffrey is muscle pulls when he's just moving in space. Some of that stuff. I mean, times it can be hits, but there's times when it's just his body's just not. It could be a muscle pull, and that's not a hit.
That's true. That's very true.
He's got a lot of these. So some are. Remember, the shoulder went down against Kansas City at one point a couple of years ago. That's a hit. But there's other ones where he's making a move in space and a muscle goes.
Heck, how about the one where he just couldn't 2 years ago? Just couldn't get the leg right to the point where he'd be trying to try it out in practice.
Yeah.
In rehab it, and he would pull, you know, leg muscle or something, the thigh muscle, and that would have him out. That basically ended his season 2 years ago. Do you think there's anything that could be done to keep him healthy?
For some of the stuff, obviously, yeah. If he can avoid contact, that goes a long way, but it's not just that, Mac. And I would say, too, the offensive line getting improved would help him avoid some of that contact. But again, if it's a juke move and he's cutting left to right or right to left, that's not really anything to do with necessarily the offensive line. That's just his body. Did he get to the point when his body, for his size, he's not a big dude in terms of he's a running back. He's not a big dude height-wise. And did he get too big for his body? Did he get too muscle-bound for his frame? And that frame doesn't hold all that muscle. It reminds me of a baseball player, Mac, that just gets too big, and all of a sudden it's just muscle tear after muscle tear that I see with Giancarlo Stanton and a lot of Yankee players over the years and a lot of baseball players in general, where they get too big and they have to almost slim down a little bit because their body isn't holding up that muscle very well.
A lot of people seem to think that. Matter of fact, Marshall Faulk, in the article by Joe Person, The Athletic, he tells Joe that, you know, you don't need to, he says basically you don't need to lift the whole gym.
Right,
He said, and it almost made me think of how is McCaffrey too yoked? He said, you don't need to be able to lift the whole gym. He says, you don't need to prove to everybody in the gym how strong you are. He says, playing the position of running back, you don't need to basically be a bodybuilder. That's one of the things that he said. He also said less touches in the game, too, which is one bone that people have been screaming about in Charlotte for years. I think less carries. And again, it's not going to solve everything because look at the Houston injury. He was out in space. Boom.
Yep.
You know, the hammy went. But, like, we've got Foreman here. We got Chuba, who's all right. Like, I feel like give those guys just a few of the carries that CMC would get. Put him out wide, put him in the slot on those plays, or let him sit out a series. I think clearly it's worth working him less in practice and reducing the touches a little bit. Like, does he need to be at 25 touches a game? Or can we bring that thing down to 20? Right?
Yes.
At least for the sake of trying to keep him healthy. Because if he's not healthy, somebody says you can't have a star running back like that and not work him. But what good does it do? Okay, give him his 26 carries a game. But in three games, he's out for the next 8 weeks. What is that? Wouldn't you rather have like 18 carries and have him healthy than give him 26 for 3 or 4 weeks and then he's hurt again?
What has to happen?
You got to at least try something.
What has to happen, too, is guys like Chuba Hubbard and Dante Foreman, they have to get touches. They have to perform at a relatively high level based off their role. So the coaching staff believes in those guys. So they trust those guys. Foreman's got to show, hey, I can carry this load too, because too many times I feel the coaching staff think that it's got to be McCaffrey or bust when he's healthy. Not anymore. You gotta ride the other guys out too. And if it, you know, McCaffrey doesn't get a lot of touches in a game, but it's effective, that only helps you down the line. The coaching staff has to make the adjustments too and not ride McCaffrey out and trust the guy you drafted.
Absolutely.
The guy you drafted in Hubbard and the guy you signed in Foreman. Trust those guys that they can do enough to alleviate a loss of McCaffrey within a game.
We've seen two different staffs that have done this, right? That they talk the talk about limiting him and making sure you don't overwork him, but the games come around and there he is with 27 touches per game or whatever. You know what I mean? We saw it with two different coaching staffs. They can't help themselves.
What would help too, Matt?
They've got to change it now, man. This is an emergency right now at this point.
And what if Sam Darnold becomes Kurt Warner this year? And all of a sudden we have one of the greatest offensive units ever with great wide receivers. You've got the back like Falk and McCaffrey. What if Sam Darnold that becomes Kurt Warner and just spreads it out so all the pressure is not on McCaffrey? Sam Darnold becoming Kurt Warner, a Hall of Famer, would help out as well.
He's got a better chance of working at the local Harris Teeter and bagging groceries like Kurt Warner did.
He's going to be listening to Cher, Believe, rather than...
Here's the deal. We're talking about McCaffrey.
Let's not go back to that dark place.
We're talking about McCaffrey trying to stay healthy. We're begging him to, and I know he wants to bad too, obviously. We're talking about the fact Marshall Faulk was here speaking at the Touchdown Club, and he discussed, you know, what he told Christian McCaffrey that needs to change in order to be healthy. He did. It's funny you mentioned Kurt Warner, because somebody texted in and said, it's pretty easy to limit your touches when you've got Bruce and you've got Holt and you have Kurt Warner throwing the football.
And Orlando Pace was the left tackle.
And that's true. Like, they had weapons they could spread the ball around to. And one of the things Marshall Faulk said, like, here it's been too much. If McCaffrey's not touching the ball, you know, the coaches felt like they had no chance. Marshall Faulk did tell Joe Person that an improved quarterback situation would go a long way. Because right now, Marshall said, the load is always on Christian McCaffrey. And here's the problem. That sounds very true. You just said it yourself. Where's that improved quarterback coming from? I mean, I guess Baker Mayfield would be a step up, but it ain't exactly Kurt Warner in his prime.
Every discussion we have, no matter what we're talking about in sports, ends up with the Panther quarterback situation.
The Panther quarterback situation ruins everything.
We could be talking about favorite cookout items, like potato salads and macaroni salads, and eventually it'll turn into the Panther quarterback discussion.
I'm telling you, it ruins everything. It ruins lives in Charlotte. Seriously, everything comes back. You're right. Everything comes back to the fact we have no quarterback. Like, this is the time of year where I'll be talking to my buddies about, like, hey, man, you pumped up about football, but you know why I can't go all in and say I'm pumped up about the Panthers?
Quarterback
situation. Yep. Everything comes back to the dang Panther quarterback situation.
Like, someone will ask me, hey, how was 4th of July? You know what? It was all right, but it's getting closer to Panther training camp, and there's no quarterback.
Get a quarterback already, dang it! Oh, my God. But then, you know, what am I saying? Because Baker's one that they have talked to the Browns about getting in here, and it seems better, but that also doesn't seem great either. Oh, we're in a mess, man. I hope CMC stays healthy. A lot of y'all are saying...
How many segments do we have where we end up sad at the end of them?
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Oh, we're in Charlotte. Oh, God. Steve Clifford's back.
God.
Oh, man. No. We traded the 13th pick and got one that'll be 25th next year. Oh, God.
Flounder can't get a date. Oh, God.
Very depressing.
Neither can Bone. Oh, God.
Very depressing content on sports radio in Charlotte. We're sorry. All right. When we come back, y'all, let's focus on this Miles Bridges situation. He's a restricted free agent. Free agency talks can begin on Thursday evening. We've got an NBA insider give us his thoughts on the Miles Bridges situation and his honest, unbiased opinion on the Steve Clifford hire. It's coming up next. The Mac Attack, Sports Radio 92.7 FNZ.
You're bringing a quarterback.